For the past year, myself, Ivan Starnoff, and my advisor, Gunsir, have been looking at the problem of performing geolocalization of internet nodes, or basically, how do we determine the physical location of nodes on the internet? Now, this capability is a critical building block for a number of different applications. It enables, enables content providers to provide customized and localized content to the end user. It allows network administrators to be able to localize faults, to be able to even determine the location of attackers. And even end users can use this to determine other end users, that they can to locate other end users based solely on geography. Now, there's already been a lot of commercial interest in this area. There are several companies that sell IP address to location databases. But there are several problems with these databases. They are typically very hard to validate. We just simply don't know how they arrived at their results. They are typically a fairly coarse grain. So nodes in Ithaca are typically mapped to Syracuse. And they are prone to becoming stale fairly quickly over time. So when we design Octin, we want to take a new, fresh new approach in performing geolocalization. We set the problem up as one of building and solving a system of constraints. Constraints are aggressively mined from the network, from network measurements, and they are anchored onto the globe by a set of landmarks that we know the precise location of. Now, once we have all these constraints, we can take them together and solve it geometrically in order to arrive at a location, an estimated location, where a target is likely going to lie. Now, Octin's accuracy and precision stem primarily from three main techniques. The first is the use of both positive and negative information, where positive information is location where the target can be located, and negative information is location where the target is known not to be located. Octin can also reason about uncertainty. We can use landmarks that we only know the approximate location to, or we can even localize, for example, an intermediate router along the path to the target and use that to further localize other routers and even the end target. And finally, Octin is a general framework that can use even non-latency-based constraints, constraints based on things such as demographics or geography in order to further improve our precision. So first, I'd like to illustrate how we represent constraints in Octin. So in this example here, we have a landmark whose position we know precisely, and also a target node that we don't know the position of, which is the black node there. Typically, we can get two pieces of information from network measurements. We can get approximately the maximum distance the target can be from the landmark. So that's shown here as a disk centered at the landmark with a radius of r positive. Similarly, we can also get the minimum distance the target can be from the landmark, which is also a disk centered at the landmark of radius r negative. And taken together, we have a ring where, given the information that we have from the landmark, we know that the target can be located. Now, we can extend this to even landmarks that we only know approximately the location of. So for example, if we know the landmark is somewhere within this loom region, we can still extract both positive and negative constraints. What we do instead is we would create a ball of radius r positive at every point where the landmark can be located. And then we take the union of that in order to construct the positive constraint. Similarly, we can construct the negative constraint by creating a ball of r negative radius at every position where the landmark can be located, and then taking the intersection of all these balls. So in this case, the negative constraint is the inner loom there, the dotted loom, and that's where the target is known not to be located. Now, once we have these constraints from both landmarks we know the precise location of and landmarks that we only know the approximate location of, we can take these constraints together as a system of constraints and solve for the most likely location of the target. In this case, simply the intersection of these three areas, or the circle region there. Now, many of these regions can be quite complex and irregular, and we want to have a nice, efficient, and compact way to represent this. So we decided to use Bezier curve enclosed surfaces, or regions, in order to represent location. So this example here is a fairly complex shape which can be easily represented as three Bezier curves. The really nice thing about Bezier curves is that it allows for very efficient union, intersection, and subtraction operations. And these and an efficient implementation of these are already available in basically any windowing toolkit because it's used as a basic clipping primitive. Now I've described the basic framework of Octin and how we represent constraints, and now I'd like to talk a bit about how we can aggressively mine the network, how we can aggressively take the measurement information in order to get tight constraints to localize the target. We can always fall back on using the speed of light. Given two nodes are separated by, say, 10 milliseconds, we know that at most these two can be 10 milliseconds times the speed of light distance apart from each other. Now, what we want to do something that's a bit more aggressive because using the simple speed of light constraint is not, it's far too conservative. It does not allow us to provide, to get a small target, a small localization, a precise localization. Instead, we have our landmarks go through a calibration phase where it measures the latency to all the other landmarks in the system. And we would plot this in plot the latency to distance, plot the other landmarks' latency to distance on a graph here like this. And what we can see is that the data points are actually quite clustered together, and they're all very far away from the very top left line, which represents the speed of light constraint. In order to extract both tight positive and negative constraints, we construct a convex hull around these data points. And that allows us to be able to extract constraints that do not violate existing empirical results. So for example here, given that the target is, say, 25 milliseconds away, we know that it's unlikely the target is closer to the landmark than, say, 200 kilometers. Similarly, we know that it's unlikely to be further away than about 1,500 kilometers. Now, by using constraints that are tighter than that of the speed of light, we can introduce some error in the system, and we want to be able to handle this in a graceful way. Octin assigns weights to each constraint based on our confidence of that particular constraint. This allows us to handle a certain degree of error in our constraint extraction. The way we assign constraints, or the way we assign weights, is based on the latency. The further away or the higher latency a landmark has to the target, the lower the confidence, simply because there's more things that can go wrong if a node is far away. And overlapping constraints simply have their weights combined. So this allows us to localize the region by simply saying, take the union of all weights above a certain threshold as the location of the target. There are certain cases where nodes that are geographically very close together can actually have a very high latency. And this is due primarily to two factors. The first is that of indirect routes. So for example here, here's a route from Cornell to Texas A&M. And this requires going first through Buffalo, Indianapolis, Kansas City, and Houston before finally reaching College Station, Texas. And this route is actually not that bad. We've observed much worse routes before. But it's still a lot longer than the great circle distance between these two cities. What we want to do instead is, instead of localizing the end nodes using end-to-end latency, we can do it in a piecewise manner to iteratively localize routers along the path because we've observed that one-hop routes tends to have very little indirectness. So in this case, we first localize the Buffalo router from Cornell. Once we've localized that, we'll use that to localize the Indianapolis node and then the Kansas City node, eventually using the Houston node to localize the final end target, the Texas A&M node at College Station, Texas. A second reason for nodes that are close geographically but still have very high latency is due to inelastic delays, or basically latencies that are present irrespective of who this particular node talks to. And there are three primary reasons for this. It can be due to queuing delays or very slow last hop delays based from the cable modem to the cable modem provider, or even due to load on the machine, which is especially prevalent on doing panel lab measurements. So we want to isolate this inelastic delay, and we isolate it as a metric called height, and potentially remove it in order to get a more precise localization. This diagram shows the different height values of planar lab nodes across the US. And as you can see, they can be fairly high, and they are different across the different nodes simply because of different load characteristics. And by being able to isolate this and remove it, we can have a much tighter localization region. As I alluded to earlier, we can not only use latency constraints, but also other geographic constraints that we take from, for example, census information, as well as geographic information. So for example, we can remove oceans from our geolocation because it's unlikely someone will be trying to determine the location from there. Or in this case, we remove things like national parks and other regions where there's very low population density. Now, ideally, we would like to return to the parent application a region, a Bayesian curve enclosed region that describes where we think the target is going to be. But most legacy applications cannot accept that as a result. They much prefer to receive a longitude and latitude as the result. So we use a very simple Monte Carlo algorithm for selecting a single representative point. And there's two nice properties with this algorithm. The first is that it always selects a point within the region. The second is the point selected is going to be the closest point within the region to the centroid of the shape. And the algorithm works by simply putting a lot of random points within the region, where each point is weighted by its distance to the other points. And then we simply select the point with the lowest weight to represent the region. There's been a lot of related previous work in this area, the first being GeoPing, where it localizes the target to the closest landmark. GeoTrack is an extension of this, which uses, along with the landmark information, intermediate node information, or router information, where some of the routers have names of known location. GeoCluster takes a slightly different approach. It uses prefix matching as well as a coarse-grained IP to location database in order to predict where new targets are likely going to lie. GeoLIM is one is the first of these systems that provide a region back to the parent application, and it's very similar to Octin, except that it only uses positive information in its localization. A recent work is a topology-based geolocation, which again takes a different approach. Instead of doing geometric shapes and such, it performs a global optimization to try to minimize the average position error in placing unknown target as well as unknown router positions. And finally, there's been a lot of previous work in this area in the wireless localization space. In fact, Octin shares much of its basic framework with that of the Sexton project. We evaluated our system on two separate data sets. The first is the PlanarLab data set of about 51 nodes. And the second is a public traceflow data set of 53 nodes. And these landmarks are chosen to be, or these nodes are chosen to be geographically distributed across the US. The first thing we want to see is how accurate is our system. So here we have a CDF of error in miles comparing Octin with GeoLIM, GeoPing, and GeoTrack. And as you can see, the very top line is Octin. Our accuracy is significantly better than the previous work. In fact, our median error is approximately 22 miles, which is better than what we had originally expected our system to be able to localize to. Now, both GeoLIM and Octin returns a region where we think the target is going to be located. An important metric to look at is how often does the target actually lie within this region. And Octin is able to correctly localize these targets about 90% of the time, no matter how many landmarks we introduce in the system. Where with GeoLIM, as you introduce more landmarks and more constraints, it becomes a higher probability of introducing an erroneous constraint that causes the entire localization to fail. So as you increase the number of landmarks, the actual localization accuracy reduces. Now, trivially, I can design a system that can always localize the node correctly simply by saying that the node lies somewhere on the globe. So it's very important to look at the size of the region as well. And what we found was that Octane's localization region, first of all, requires very few landmarks to reach a very small size, and is about and can be up to 3 times smaller than that of GeoLim with 10 landmarks. We broke down Octane's different optimizations to see how well each performed. And what we were able to, what we found was that no single optimization that we introduced dominates the overall performance, each overall performance improvement. Each optimization increases the localization accuracy by a noticeable amount. The introduction of both city constraints, or basically geographical constraints, was able to significantly reduce our region area as well. So by using, for example, removing all ocean areas, we're able to localize coastal cities but with a much smaller region. And as well, if we were to remove all lowly populated regions, we're able to further reduce the localization region size by a factor of 2. We have a working prototype available. It's a fairly simple implementation of about 10,000 lines of code. It operates as a third-party service, so you can use it right now on our webpage and localize any target node that can be pinged. Currently, we use simple ICMP echoes, but you can imagine extending it to using other latency measurements. And it's available at our website. Here are two screenshots of what our demo looks like. On the left here is us trying to localize a node at Purdue. The blue line is Octane, the red line is GeoLim. And you can see that it actually puts it approximately to where Purdue is located. And also, the shape itself is quite irregular due to all the different optimizations that we introduced in the system. And on the right, we try to localize that of Georgia Tech. And again, we were able to localize it to a very small and accurate region. So in summary, I presented Octane, which is a general framework for performing geolocalization of internet nodes. It sets the problem up as one of building and solving a system of constraints. It's able to aggressively mine latencies in order to construct these constraints. And it uses a number of different techniques in order to be able to handle all the inaccuracies and all the abnormalities of internet routing and internet latency measurements. The system is practical and accurate. We're able to localize nodes in our evaluation to a median of about 22 miles. And all in all, our system allows a user to be able to locate the location of another user without the cooperation of that end host. Thank you very much.
Hi, Ian Rose, Harvard University. I was curious if you've looked at the sort of the tail end of the nodes that had the highest inaccuracy, if there's any sort of common traits between them. Like, do they tend to be in the more rural areas? Do they tend to be a large distance from your landmarks? Or if there's any commonalities there?
Certainly. If a target is very far away from all known landmarks or have a very irregular and high latencies, especially ones that are beyond what we see normally in other nodes, it typically can introduce a higher error or at least larger regions because we're having a lot more trouble trying to localize these particular targets.
And was that the case in almost all of the ones in the top 25% of inaccuracy?
I can't say for sure. It definitely was some of the worst ones, and those kind of stick in mind when you go through the data set. But I can't say for sure whether they were all the ones that were present in the top 25%.
Thanks. Thank
you. So I had a question about how extensible your system is to longer latencies, or say, would you expect that the system would work equally accurately if points were distributed across the globe and not just within the US? So I can't remember off the top of my head what the locus of points within a given distance or on the globe is. Is it, I guess, just a great circle, or do you just use great circles for?
Right. We suspect that our system will work well, even with nodes on across the globe. We haven't really tested this result on PlanetLab because there simply is, during our implementation, there simply wasn't enough PlanetLab nodes in a lot of different parts of the world. And we decided to concentrate on results that are in the US because that's where the greatest concentration of PlanetLab nodes are. We suspect that our system should work well with nodes that are far away as well due to our use of things like intermediate routers as additional landmarks, as well as inelastic delays and stuff like that, sure. Techniques of that sort. That's definitely something we're planning to add to our demo.
So my question is, having been one of the authors of some of the related work, the question is why you didn't compare to the work we published at IMC last year, quantitatively. So you demonstrate here, you beat all these people who is essentially not the state of the art.
Right.
So it's very hard for me to know whether your techniques are actually would help and we should go use yours, or whether they're essentially saying the same thing.
Absolutely. And so I think you're referring to the topology-based geolocation. The two work actually, I guess, overlapped quite a bit in terms of the time period. When we were developing the system, TBG was not available. By the time we submitted the paper and such, we just found out about it, really. And also, we don't have implementation of it, which I guess we could just ask for. But it definitely is something that we're looking forward to doing, to do a comparison of the two systems.